Beh, this afternoon we're in the Giornale di Bargo news office with a visitor. We have a visitor from the UK who's, well, a visitor from the re UK. He's actually been a resident here in Bargo for a long, long time, but he jumps between the UK and Bargo. We have Michael Stimpson here, the composer, who is here specifically for. Beh, let's talk to Michael and see what he says. What are you doing? What's going on at the moment?
Well, I'm here for. Oh, I should say hello first, shouldn't I? I'm here for a concerto, a concert next Sunday in Barga, which has been all planned for 6 months to a year. No, probably a year, I guess. And it's mostly Pascoli, but some Puccini and some poetry reading. But it celebrates, like many things this year, the anniversary of Pascoli.
Pascoli's death. So, Pascoli, how well known is Pascoli in the UK, for instance?
In truth, I can't really say, but for me, obviously, coming here, you immediately get a feeling of Pascoli, the importance of Pascoli, and so I've very much enjoyed getting to know his writing and his life and his material. But as for the UK in total, probably not very well known. But then how many English poets are known in the UK or British poets are known in the UK? Probably not very many either.
Not very many either, probably, yeah. So you're writing work specifically around your feelings about Pascoli or Pascoli's words. How does it actually work?
Well, it all started really say many years ago, about 2005, 2006, when I wanted to write a work for baritone and piano. I was working with an Italian pianist, a very fine player called Roberto Russo, and he gave the Italian premiere of a work of mine for cello and piano over the other side of Italy in Ascoli. And then I combined with Roberto to judge a composition competition in Italy. So the next stage was to write a work specifically for him. And so with the Barga and Pascoli sort of connections, as it were, I chose to use the words of Pascoli. So I set about reading his poetry, and I read many, understood little really, because my Italian was very basic. Not that it's brilliant now, but the interesting thing for me was that the poem or the set of poems, Dall'alba al tramonto, seemed to brilliantly encapsulate Pascoli's life, really, with all the beauty, the mystery, the tragedies, everything seemed to come through. Not the whole collection, because it would have made the piece too long, but so I selected, I think, eight poems to work with, and thus was born my version of Dall'alba al tramonto. And so Roberto and Alessandro, the tenor, toured it round Italy, but not in it didn't come to Barga, and also in the UK. So it had a lot of hearings, and I had a lot of affection for the work. But then we started talking a year or more ago about a concert here in Barga, and it just grew from there, really. So, and the most important thing was to talk about writing a new work. And since I'd done baritone, sorry, I said tenor, didn't I? The reason for getting the mix-up actually is because Alessandro's voice had an extraordinary range, and it had a sort of baritone feel, even though he
He's a trained
is
tenor.
a tenor. But it would be, for me anyway, a little hard to tell because the range was so incredibly wide. But anyway, it seemed good to have a compliment that was a female voice. So we then decided on soprano and piano. And then really, again, looking through the poems, Laura Di Barga sort of stood out, really, as a compliment to Barga and to this anniversary. And so I sort of set about looking at that work, and the writing I began sort of at the beginning of this year, really.
For those that don't know, Laura Di Barga is about the sound of the Duomo bells across the valley. And it's a particular... we're sitting in Barga Vecchia now, and every 15 minutes the bells sound. So the bells are an integral part of life here in Barga.
Yes, what I use the bells a lot in Dal Alba, because I'm just fascinated by them, because they have so many characteristics, both in sort of harmony and rhythm. And there is a beautiful little bit that just lasts for a few seconds at the end when they've tired, where it just sort of rings lightly. But I never cease to be amazed at what the bells can produce. Not always deliberately, but, you know, they produce a magnificent range, and for me are much more interesting and pleasant than the sort of English bells that have a longer tradition, but somehow are just too English for me to be that interesting, really. But the Barga bells I love. And so I use the first three notes to start off Dal Alba, and so I wasn't quite sure how much I would use the bells in Laura Di Barga, but because the place where I write is very close to the Duomo, often I hear the bells when I'm writing, and I just think that would work very well. And pardon me, and it's amazing how often, just totally randomly, the bit of the bells that I hear and the words that I was just setting at that moment, it's amazing how often it worked, and it was appropriate, and with development, certainly. And so for Laura Di Barga, without becoming too technical, if you alter the intervals of the notes, you get a completely different sound. So a second becomes a ninth, for example. And also because Pascoli would have heard the bells just in the in the distance at his house, this piece, Laura Di Barga, starts off with these intervals of the bells, these wider intervals of the bells, very delicately, and it's meant to be sort of very light, and before the words come in. In fact, there's even a phrase, sound of the bells coming on the wind.
Because Pascoli's house is not actually in Barga, it's in Castelvecchio Pascoli. It's a good 2 kilometres, maybe, as the crow flies, maybe 3, from the Duomo itself.
That's right. And
so the sound will have arrived in a slightly different way. Certainly would take some time to get there.
It would take some time, and it has a very particular feel when you're hearing the bells a long way away, compared with where I work, when they really go for it.
Sure.
It's not only very dramatic, it's almost threatening at times, you know. So they have many different characteristics. So, but Laura Di Barga was a very different piece to work with compared with Dal Alba, because it wasn't really encapsulating, for me anyway, as a non-expert, not encapsulating his life. And so one of the first problems was that a lot of the emotions of Laura Di Barga are similar, and for a musician, or a musician who writes in the way that I do, you're looking for a particular shape, maybe a climax at a certain point in the piece. How are you going to finish? How are you going to start. And so Laura de Barga was interesting and posing problems on the actual sort of form of the piece. But
so do you have a structure in your head already, and you're fitting stuff around the structure as you're building it, or does it organically grow while you're working on it?
Probably, I would say it should be the former, and it's the latter.
And it's the latter.
It's more of the latter. When I used to teach at university, I would always tell students to plan their work. Right. And I do plan the work, but in a way, I can't use the word here in an interview because it's a little bit rude. But at the first stage, I write rubbish, shall we say.
Okay.
And what it's doing is just setting out the form, the structure, the highs and lows. Mm. And often you can be writing pretty much the same thing in those different places, but you know that you will gradually evolve, edit, change, until it becomes how you like it. But in a way, you are creating a structure, but you're almost doing it instinctively, really.
So you're taking stuff away. Is it like a block of marble and you're taking stuff away to arrive at a sculpture, or is it like a piece of clay where you're putting stuff on to build?
I think, again, more the latter.
More the
really.
Latter.
Yes. But, of course, you then arrive at the musical idea that you like. And modern music can be quite confrontational for audiences, perhaps different to modern art, really, which is perhaps a discussion for elsewhere. Mm. But you need, in my opinion, to help the listener. So the using of an idea that is recognisable and using it in a slightly different way will also help somebody become more familiar with the work, because the thing with a first performance is this will be you only hear it once,
sure,
really, and you may not hear it again for a very long time, so you're just going to be left with an impression. So you want to not compromise what you feel yourself, but on the other hand, I think it's right that Barga has a spirit, Italy has a spirit, and you want to mould the piece to fit in that strengths rather than weaknesses, I think.
Mm. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting when it happens to see.
It
How
is.
How much does entertainment come into composing a piece like this? How much do you feel that you have to entertain people? What I'm asking is this is going to be a slightly difficult piece, I think.
Not too hard.
No, not too hard.
I wouldn't want to give the impression. I mean, my style isn't highly avant-garde.
Okay.
So it depends where you're coming from. I mean, I remember meeting somebody who hated everything that was written after 1770, I think. So yes, it would be tough on him. But I would be disappointed if it was too hard for people to really like. But
do you write for an audience? Do you have an audience in mind when you're writing?
You do. Actually, the thing you have most in mind are the performers, because you know their, if you know them, you know their strengths, their weaknesses. And I'd heard both Massimo and Sally before, so I knew not so much their strengths and weaknesses, because that's a little bit insulting, but I knew what I liked about their performance.
The areas that they work in. Here we're talking about Massimo Salotti, the pianist from Fornaggi, and Sally Lee, the soprano here in Barga.
That's right. And so, I mean, Sally for me has a beautiful voice, and it's very gentle, but of course you want to allow a singer to have their head as well. And again, that's what I found so interesting about Laura de Barga, because there are various phrases that stand out, and the main one is "e l'ora è tardi," and it was possible to interpret it in so many different ways, because in a sense Pascoli was sitting in his armchair hearing the bells and saying, you know, it's the hour and it's late, etc., etc. But actually, the more the writing went on, the more I felt it to be a comment on life, really. And that enabled then the climax of the piece to be created.
How old
was
Pascoli when he wrote that? Was this towards the end of his life?
No, I don't know, but I think it was more maybe a personal reflection, because I had a serious illness and operation last year, where one wasn't totally convinced how it was going to go. And so actually L'ora di Bugger is the first piece I wrote after that big operation. And one was being a little sort of reflective personally, I think, on where one was at in one's own life. But I just had this feeling that Pascoli was, because he loved the countryside, and I imagined him as a, maybe as a person he wasn't, but I imagined him as this reflective, slightly depressive at times, but very thoughtful and warm as well, person, that I think it wasn't too big a jump to see that phrase as much a comment on
life, the higher spiritual theme, of course.
But again, this just is something that enables the composer to give a form to the piece, and actually the piece ends in a very friendly and warm and rather peaceful way, returning to the Bugger I love, which is the end of the poem. So so naturally you want to give that feel to the close.
Wonderful. Thank you for speaking with us and sharing some of the problems that a composer has, and some of the ideas that you're playing with. We're looking forward to this. This will be on Sunday.
Thank you very much for asking and talking to me, Keane.
Thank you.